take your Bibles and go to Psalm 56. Psalm 56. We're going to read verses 1 through 4, and the verse 3 is my text verse. Psalm 56 and verses 1 through 4. Full passage here. Psalm 56, verse 1. Be merciful unto me, O God. For man would swallow me up, he fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O thou Most High. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. And let's pray together. Father, please, this topic of trusting you, our faith, I know no one's mastered it, but Lord, please help us. Give us understanding. Help us to trust you. And Father, fear less. Please bless the people tonight and help us, strengthen us, and draw us close to you. Please. Amen. You can have a seat there. And verse number 3, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. The whole psalm is just amazing. Verse 4 says, I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. And look at verse 11. It says, in God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. And that verse, whenever I get afraid, what do I need to do? It tells me I'm not trusting the Lord, my fear. And I know they're talking about, it's in the news now, the Omicron variant and of the COVID and all of this stuff. And what I'm starting to wonder, they've never identified COVID-19. They've only identified SARS-CoV-2. It's never been isolated. It's never been. There are scientists that are wondering if it actually exists. In other words, we know it's a disease, but what they're calling COVID-19, now people are questioning. They haven't even seen the Omicron. They're calling it a variant. It is interesting. The only people that have caught the Omicron variant are those that are fully vaccinated, but they're going to blame the vaccine for the variant. That's just what's coming. If you can keep people scared and if you can overload their senses with information, like the internet does, too much news, too much information, then they're easily controlled, and that's what they try to do. That's why they don't like church, because when you come to church, you're reminded you shouldn't be living in. You're reminded to trust in the Lord as you read your Bible, and that's why if they can shut the churches down, then that's all the more people that they control with fear, right? So tonight, I wanted to analyze as far as myself and fear and trusting the Lord. We sang the song, Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. And then twice in this psalm, I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. I will not fear what man can do. This is a man-made virus, whatever it is. It was created by evil people and released to kill people. So when I think of anything that deals with it, I always think I shouldn't be fearing it. Well, yeah, but if I get it, I could die. It has the same death rate as the flu right now. But I wanted to address fear, and I think we should be thinking differently than the world. The world's going to be in a panic always. They're always going to be in a stir. We're told not to be afraid in the Bible 144 times. God tells us not to be afraid 144 times. If you use King David as an example, you can see his childlike faith and trust in God. In God's narrative of his life, I find that he got tired and weary, and I find where he got discouraged, but I don't find where he was afraid until I read how he prayed and cried out to God in Psalm 56. I think he was. This is God showing us how to pray when we're scared. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Verse 3. There's two fears in the Bible. First, there is fear, the emotion of fear. It's the pain or uneasiness caused by a sense of impending danger or, prospect of some possible evil. So there's fear itself. That's an emotion God gave us. And then there's the fear of God. The fear of God is a feeling of dread and reverence toward God Almighty, and it can also be pointed towards authorities that God gives. There are blessings with the fear of God. We're commanded to fear God. Fear is a natural emotion, But that emotion that God gave us is not supposed to control us and our lives and our decisions. Everybody understand? So we're supposed to fear God. We're commanded to. But fear, that emotion, is supposed to be kept under control. In that verse, "When time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." If my soul suffers from fear, when I get scared, I need to go to God in prayer. I said when this started, the lockdown that happened a year and a half ago, 15 days is all we need, and they're talking about getting back to normal. We all had to figure out we were being lied to, and we finally did, okay. But I said this, the hard time that I see this being manipulated into is not going to come because of the sickness or the disease itself. It's the evil's going to come when they impose the vaccination, and then you're watching people lose their jobs. You're watching the upheaval. And I don't think things are going to get worse. Better. I think they're going to get worse as far as the vaccination goes and what they're telling people to do. I think it's sad. I can't believe they're actually doing this to children. But as we're watching this, I need to be reminded prayer and trusting the Lord should be my natural responses to fear. And when I feel scared, I need to stop and pray. I cannot let it continue to eat me up through the day, and it will eat you up. Well, what if you could? What if this happens? Well, what if this happens? Well, if this happens, and then this, you can. What if you've heard me say that? You can what if yourself to death, and you can just stay in a point of anxiety to where it's like, well, if this happens, we got to do this, and what about this? Here we go. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Listen closely. Our bodies respond to fear in a bad way. Fear is a hard emotion on our mind. It taxes you and it will wear you out. Even after you haven't done anything physical, it wears on you and grinds you down. Our body responds to fear your pulse rate goes up, anxiety. Did you know if you do not control fear, it can destroy your health? It can destroy your health. Because fear weakens us, the calmer we keep ourselves in difficulty in our trust in the Lord, then the more credible our decisions can be. When you're afraid, you can respond and run into worse dangers than what you're running from. And that's how the devil works. If he can get you running, you run into worse things than what you're running from. And the devil, he operates with fear. Remember, Satan's main job is deception, getting you to see things that aren't there. If he suggests enough, well, what if? Well, what if? Then you start picturing things that have never happened and in most cases will never happen. His job is deception. Revelation 12:9. He's a deceiver because he is a liar, and his fear, his tool that he uses is fear. First Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." And how the devil devours is the old lions would roar and get the prey to run into the gauntlet of the young lions that have the teeth. So Satan roars, fears. This could happen. And you could do this, and this might happen. And if he can just get you running, there's an ambush waiting. That's how he works. That's why 2 Timothy is so important in your Bible. Chapter 1, verse 7. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Even though fear can be understandable, we have to be careful to never let it control us. You should never make a decision in fear. If you're making any decisions in fear, you can know God isn't leading me to do it. God doesn't lead you that way. He leads you with the Bible. He leads you with truth. But God doesn't scare you into serving him or scare you into doing right. The devil does. That's why God has not given us the spirit of fear. I think in all of this, I have used that verse more than I have used any other thing. God does not lead us with fear. And if you're scared and making decisions from fear, stop. Just bring yourself to a halt. Stop and knock it off. And just realize, I need to shut the fear off. Then make the decision. If you weren't scared, is that the decision you would have made? Analyze yourself. Psalm 56, verse 3, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. I think lost people need to fear the depths of hell. They need to fear God who can cast their soul and body into hell. And I think, praise God, it's simple. All they have to do is trust Jesus to take them to heaven. And I'm glad salvation is simple. But there should be a fear of dying and going to hell. I know it's why most of us got saved. Then there's the fear. Sometimes we're afraid because of the world around us and what we're watching happen. For instance, the economy, they talk about the Chinese threat, what about war, and they're threatening war and all this stuff. What about politics? All the instability of politics. I don't care if you want to talk about election, if you want to talk. My wife and I were talking to someone who works in Washington, D.C., and she works with ICE, the immigration thing. And we asked the question. We said, so you deal with this every day. Can you tell us what's happening at the border? I said, we don't see anything. She said, the people that are coming across the border are 900% more than what was coming across the same time last year. And we were like, ooh. That's a lot. She said, every day, 900%. And so that's an issue. I mean, what about our country, Then you have the Islam and terrorism and then the nuclear threats. What about health? We've dealt with the Zika scare, in Florida and Ebola in Africa and MERS. And then, the COVID and now, the new variant, all of this stuff. What about endangered food and water supplies when extreme weather hits, and this is supposed to be the worst winter. There is so much that you can be worried about constantly. That's why, what time I am afraid, I will trust in the Lord. I'm going to stop. Just stop and just drop to your knees and ask the Lord to help you. What time I get scared, I need to just trust the Lord, because when I'm scared, I'm not trusting. And that should be a sign to me that I need to pull myself in. I think it's good to be informed. But listen closely. If you want to immerse yourself in the world and its news and its views, then you're going to be disturbed, distracted, distraught, and I can only handle so much news. They thrive on sensory overload. It's like they never want you to shut the news off. Remember when we used to get it just for an hour a day? Now it's 6 o'clock at night. Those days are over. They want you listening to it all day long. You can only handle so much. Have you noticed how trivial the news items are? Here's one. The shooting accident with, Baldwin, the movie set, and the accident, and who actually did this. I've never seen so much hype about senseless garbage. You say, well, somebody got shot. Then do the investigation and figure out. It's obvious the person that did it. It's the person that was in charge of the weapons on the set. Oh, we got to figure out. We got to do. It's just a distraction. It's just overload. It's just so much garbage. All of the news items. It's like everything they report on is all the trivial stuff. Have you learned yet that being informed doesn't help you solve any problems? Well, we need to learn about this. Look, I'm not for keeping your head in the sand. I'm for being informed. But it doesn't help you do anything about the things we can't fix. Nothing. That's why I read headlines, and I might read a few articles, but most I just read headlines just to stay up on what's up, and then that's all I need. As far as what's we're supposed to be living in this world, but not for this world. We're supposed to be living for the world to come. Here we go. The unknowns of the future can cause us to be afraid, and God says, be careful what you give your emotions to. Outside of praying, there's nothing that can be done about the economy. There's nothing you can do about any disagreement you have with the election to come or election of the past. There's nothing you can do about the weather. There's nothing you can do about any. If a disease is breaking out, you're going to do what? Amen. Take your vitamin C. Amen. And here we go. Think about it. Is a wife ever in charge of the time she becomes a widow? Never. Okay. Have you ever been in charge of what germ or bacteria afflicts your body? No, never. There has to be for every child of God a time when you trust the Lord. And when you're scared, when you fear, what time I am afraid, I will trust the Lord. You have to be able to say, I have done my best to earn a living, And I believe my Heavenly Father, who feeds the ravens, will feed me. And if God doesn't allow the pesky flies and mosquitoes to starve to death, then He won't let a soul that rests on Him to perish for lack of bread either. There has to come some trust. It's hard for us to trust God, but it's a sweet thing. Listen to these verses. Psalm 12. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry and ye perish from the way when His wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in Him. Psalm 18, verse 2. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust. Psalm 37, we read it at the start of the service. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. There's an illustration. A wife was on a ship that her husband was captaining. It was in a storm, and she was scared and frightened. And she saw her husband at the helm, and in perfect peace, and she couldn't understand it. The husband could tell his wife was scared, and to help her, he took his sword and he unsheathed it and pulled it out. And he said, "Are you frightened when I have my sword out? Do you feel threatened and afraid? Do you fear my sword?" The wife said, "No." He said, "Why?" She said, "Because it's in your hand." And he said back to her, "That's why I'm not afraid. The storm is in my Father's hands, and He loves me much more than I am able to trust. What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee." Take your Bible and go to Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. Isaiah 41 and verse 10. I would think this is one of the neatest verses, comforting verses that you could just sit and meditate on and think about. And I'll help you pull some things out. But my goodness, watch this. Isaiah 41 and verse 10. "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed." We don't use the word dismayed, but the word dismayed means to be fearful so much that you're frozen. And God says, don't let fear freeze you. Don't be dismayed. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. What a verse. If you took this verse, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee." He promised He'd never leave us, never forsake us. If you have the Lord, the Lord is for you. Romans chapter 8, God is for us. Who can be against us? If God is with you, look at the next phrase. "Be not dismayed, for I am thy God." God said, there's nobody like me. Look at verse 4. "Who hath wrought and done it, calling the generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, the first and with the last, I am He." God says, there's nobody like me. And if you got me, I am your God. Now, I know this is talking to Israel, but I can still spiritually apply this to me. And this is one of the most comforting verses in the Bible. And when I get scared or when I get fearful, I should be able to turn here and listen to God tell me, "You don't, because you have me. You have everything. I'm your God. I'll never leave you nor forsake you." Look at the next promise. Watch this. "I will strengthen thee." Okay, let me ask you a question. If you don't give God the opportunity to strengthen you, how does God strengthen you if you don't read your Bible? There has to be a way of getting this in you, right? But if you're not reading your Bible, God can't strengthen you. The average diet for the average Christian all week long is 90% news and, you know, maybe 6% talking with other people and then 4% Bible all week long. Yeah, you're going to struggle. It's going to hurt you. God says, "I can strengthen you if you'll read my word." You should have a time every day when you read your Bible. And if these times that we're living in don't push you to read your Bible, what's it going to take? I mean, for right, good grief. I mean, 2 years ago, it was hard to get people to read their Bibles. It shouldn't be hard now with what we're going through and what we're facing. Amen. We need the Lord. God says, "Yea, I will strengthen thee. And I will help thee." God says, "I want to help you." You know how that happens? God strengthens you when you read His word. God helps you when you ask it. That's prayer, right? I see Bible reading and prayer right here. If you aren't reading your Bible and praying, how can God strengthen and help you if you're not asking Him anything? I like this, and I'm just breaking it down and thinking about it. "Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." That tells me this. Proverbs 10:29 says, "The way of the Lord is strength to the upright." You know what gives me my strength? My stability in life comes from God who never changes in His Word. The world, it brings instability and fear and questions that never end. My stability and focus in life comes from. Did you know you can have the same thing? Aren't you glad it's available to every one of us? God says, I can give you, I just love that word, stability. I can give you a firmness. The righteous are bold as a lion, but the wicked flee when no man pursues. God can give us a boldness. You say, well, what about the future? And what's going to, I got the Lord. Amen. I love this statement. You know when I'm dying? When God's done with me. And when God's done with me, I want to go. Amen. I don't want to just exist here on the earth. Look, go to 2 Timothy and watch. I know death scares us because none of us have ever died before. That's stupid. Okay. All right. The unknown can scare you, but go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, and of course, chapter 1 gives you that, and verse 7 gives you that beautiful verse. Go to 2 Timothy 4. Death has an unknown to it that I think can intimidate us, but in the end, when I use my Bible, I find, look what the Apostle Paul said. God used him to say this right before he got his head cut off. Okay? Look at verse 6. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. He said, I'm getting ready to go home. And he's not, what amazes me is as you read 2 Timothy chapter 4, here's his attitude towards death that I think I need to have, that I think you as a Christian need to have. He isn't saying, tell the Christians at Ephesus they need to get a militia together and come here and break me out of this jail because I'm getting ready to get my head cut off. Somebody better rescue me. I'm going to die. There's no fear of that. It's, I'm getting ready to go home. And he's not sick. He's an old man. He's 60 years old, but he's in sound body. Look at the next verse. He says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. Just like what we talked about this morning. He knew he was in a race. And I finished my course. And I have kept the faith. That's what I should be concerned about. That's why, you know, when I was in the hospital and I was, you know, had all the thoughts of, am I going to make it through the weekend and all of this? My thoughts were, what did I leave for the next generation? Am I leaving anything behind that will encourage those who come after me? What did I do to help the last generation or the next generation that's coming? I have kept the faith. And look at verse 8. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. When he knew he was going to die, his attitude towards death was, you know what? I'm ready to go. And I've done what God saved me to do and what God put me on this earth. And you know what I'm looking forward to? I'm looking forward to heaven. And I'm looking forward to that crown because I've longed for his appearing every day. Lord, today might be the day. And everybody that longs for it gets a crown. You'll notice all through chapter 4, there is a, look at the longing for heaven. And I just marked some verses. He does tell about those who have mistreated him. But look at verse 16. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. I think he's looking back on his life saying, yeah, I've had some hard times. Yeah, I've suffered for the Lord. But those that have mistreated me, he said, I hope it goes well for them. I don't wish evil on anybody. Look at verse 17. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. Praise the Lord, that by me the preaching might be fully known and that the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. It says the lion, not lions. Who's the lion? Satan is, right? Your adversary, walketh about as a roaring lion, 1 Peter 5:8. Look at verse 18. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, watch this, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I just took you there because as I read 2 Timothy 4, in his last dying days, he's longing for heaven. He's not going, we got to keep from dying. I don't think, and he wasn't suicidal either. He wasn't, oh, I just hope to die someday. He wasn't that way either. He was just longing for heaven. In what we deal with and how the world tries to manipulate our thinking, I every time I find myself getting affected by the news, I always go, that shouldn't affect me. what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. That shouldn't bother me.
Well, yeah, but
you know, remember, I showed you since 2020, since the year 2000, for the last 20 years, every year there's been something that's going to kill all of us, right? And when this is done, there'll be something else. I'm tired of them crying wolf. I don't want to listen to the world. I want my thinking. I want to enjoy my wife, my family, my church, the Christians God has given me a relationship with. I want to enjoy that until God calls me, helping and praying for each other, loving each other, serving. And we got stuff to do. I do not want to live in fear. I want to trust the Lord. Tonight, remember, there's the fear of death. And I think for us, Christians who trust the Lord are happy Christians. Now, lazy people are never happy, but trusting Christians are happy ones. That's why Psalm 56:3, tonight, what time I am afraid, I will trust the Lord. Isaiah 12:2, we sang the song, I will trust and not be afraid. Your trust in the Lord is not only the cure for fear, but it's also the preventatives you don't. And I can tell when my faith is where it's supposed to, I'm not scared. You say, do you get scared? I try to run to the Bible, and I hope tonight's trust in the Lord. And if you're scared tonight, nothing you hear tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen. Personally, I don't care. I got a life to live for the Lord. Amen. I'm saved. God's in control. He's my God. He never, what time I am afraid, I will. And that makes, let's pray. Father, please use this. I know we can't hear it too much. I know our flesh is.